But I mean, like, I would love to coach him because I would love to have that comeback story. I would take it.
You like to be attached to that?
Yeah, I'd like to be attached to it. I'd take credit for it. Yeah, yeah, I can do it.
What does it take to actually make a comeback? A return home to reset and rehabilitate?
That full on, I'm coming back with this injury. Let's go back to Australia and take care.
Does it require you to stay dynamic, making pivots when small setbacks occur? Or does it take an entirely new plan, something you have never done before, in order to find a completely new gear?
In all your revival in that last life, I think you ran very well still.
But for an angel who might have flown too close to the sun, can he ever get his wings back?
And in four, on paper, the favourite, Donovan Brazier, the US champion, indoor and out, the Diamond League winner, beckoning history, potentially the first US man ever to win a world 800 metres title. Brazier is moving away, Tuukka in second, Rutich closing for third, but it's a moment in time for the United States, Donovan Brazier, 1:42.34, what a time! It's a new US record. He smashed Johnny Gray's record that stood for 34 years. What a performance from Donovan Brazier. Carried the weight of the US expectation. And he is their first world 800 meter gold medalist. Ahead of Tuukka, who took the silver, and Rotich of Kenya got the bronze.
Famous Shaqiri saying is, "I'm not back, I'm better." So let's put a Donovan Brazier spin to it.
I'm just grateful. Honestly, I'm back and I'm grateful. Like, I'm so incredibly grateful. Like I said, like, I didn't realize how much I missed it until that gun went off, until I finished the line and I gave Craig a big old hug, because I was a little bit emotional about it because I didn't know if that time would ever come. But yeah, I'm just so incredibly grateful to be around the track community again.
Is he, more seriously, do you think Mike Smith's coaching him?
That's what I heard.
Who'd you hear it from?
Find out on the Coffee Club Podcast.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club Podcast for episode 190. We are back doing it online over the old app, the website that we use. Not the same as being in the studio. Currently, we are tricontinental. So I'm actually down under in Australia, which I'll explain in a little bit. Ollie, as you may have seen on your TVs, overreaching Europe. And George is here in the studio. George, how's it feeling? Is it a bit lonely in there?
Hell, it's lonely and quite cold because I've had to start cranking the AC because it's freaking hot in Boulder now. But actually, quite appropriately, I'm in front of my Stockholm poster, which is appropriate for this week. But the beanie and the hoodie, is it winter in Sydney? What's going on?
It literally is winter. I can confirm.
Does it feel like it?
It does. It's extremely cold. It's, you know, winter here is something different to winter in America. I don't know how to explain exactly, but I mean, it is just cold. Like this morning, the houses and stuff are not designed that well, I would say, for cold weather. And it's below 10 degrees in the morning. Like when I got up this morning around 7 a.m., the feels like was 4 degrees Celsius. So like, it is cold. It's very cold.
Well, what are you doing there? Through your trading tour?
What am I doing?
Why is Morgan in Sydney, Australia?
So, a turn of events, as you guys will know, last time I checked in, I was dealing with an injury and I was pretty unsure about what it was at that time. And we have a decent idea about what it is now. Like, I'm recovering from it. I'm getting back into training, slow and steady. However, this whole year I've had to renew my visa. Little reminder that the three of us boys are on visas. We don't have permanent status in the US of A. So every 5 years or so, we have to renew the visa. And I was meaning to do it earlier in the year when I was coming back to Australia, but it didn't end up happening for various reasons. And so it was kind of like, well, everyone's heading over to Europe right now and my training is not that full on. I'm coming back with this injury. Let's go back to Australia and take care. of my visa. So then hopefully later in the year, I'm racing and I can travel freely between different countries and back to the US. So taking care of that right now, I will say it feels quite, I don't know, serendipitous almost, because I haven't been home during wintertime for 5 years maybe or more, I don't know. And so it is cool just to actually be back here to experience winter, because I do miss being here a lot. It's really fun. And I'm back here running my laps of Centennial Park. I'm doing a little bit of running right now. My injury is not like perfect. I did end up having to get a cortisone shot in my hip, and I'm getting back into training now. So I'm doing a couple of laps of the White Fence and doing a bunch of cross training and stuff, going to the gym, going to Fitness First a lot. So it's a good setup for where I'm at right now. But yeah, it's very weird to travel back here to wintertime when it's summertime everywhere else.
Are you still trying to heat train at Fitness First?
Yeah. I had
a brief moment funny where, legs?
Dude, not really. Like not like the thing is, I think the gym culture is people are like, do your thing, you know? And
pretty accepting.
I think people understand, especially like at those types of gyms, that cardio is cardio, and it's like, do whatever you have to do cardio wise. Obviously the thing that's probably weird is I'm spending way more time than an average person on the cardio machines. You know, I did an hour 45 on the elliptical yesterday, and that was a lot. But you know, people come and go. They come and go every 20 minutes or so, and then they probably don't see you again, so they don't mind. The one like weird positive with heat training in a gym is that like when you're wearing a lot of layers, and I heat train with a beanie and gloves on, is you don't actually drop sweat everywhere, because I think it's the gloves and the beanie, they capture all your sweat. So you're not actually like, you're not dripping barely at all. So it actually is not as, I think it's worse when you're just dripping sweat everywhere. You know what I mean?
I've actually also noticed that. Did you hear that's what Jingy said in his cross training video when he was like talking about being layered up. I thought he was about to say, I'm wearing all this for heat training, but he literally says, he's like, I'm wearing all these layers so I don't get sweat on my gym equipment. He didn't even mention heat training. He was, I mean,
genius.
Maybe he probably knows that it's also,
except for like, the fact maybe that his gym was set to 32 degrees.
Well, yeah, that too. Oh, yeah. He obviously was heat training, but when he talked about wearing layers, he said it was like to capture the sweat. And it's actually like, that's, you did right. I noticed it the other day as well.
It makes it feel, it makes it better. It's like better, I would say.
Minus heat training is still hard. But dripping sweat everywhere is on an inside cross training machine is not enjoyable. That's a hack for everyone out there cross training.
Wear gloves.
Gloves. I haven't started. I haven't tried that. That's next level. That's really next level.
We both watched the Jakob cross training video, which I think both of us would recommend anyone watch it, because it is interesting just to see how the best runner in the world does it, and how he's very simple. It's like he makes it very simple, which I think is good. I think it should be simple. But I'm interested, I think, because we'll talk a lot more about this in the coming weeks. We've been doing a decent amount of heat training just for the various benefits that are coming out about that. We talked a bit about it with the Roaches when they were on the pod. I still think that it's probably, and we're doing heat training by wearing a lot of layers inside, but I think it's probably way harder to do it how Jakob did it, where your actual gym is set to 32 degrees. Or Kylian Jornet had a video where his gym was set to, it was like 36 to 40 degrees. I think that would be way harder than wearing a lot of layers. I think like when you're breathing in the hot air.
I wonder, dude, that 36 to 40, that is insane. I mean, yeah, prepping for Western States, I guess.
He was mostly not running when he was had it that hot. Like he was just on the bike.
Yeah. Well, that's almost what Boulder's about to be, dude. We're all this week hitting like 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 32 or 33 or something?
I think. Maybe not quite.
Kai and I
around that, maybe.
We practiced at 8 a.m. this morning to try and avoid some of the heat. To not always be heat training. But, dude, it's heating up here.
Yeah. Well, that's good because, I mean, I was going to say it's getting hot around the world, but actually the locations where you're about to go race in Europe are probably not that hot.
Not known for it anyway. Stockholm's kind of warm though. It's nothing like Oslo, but yeah, Kai and I heading out to Stockholm tomorrow. Dude, speaking of a visa, actually, I might have been in a bit of a pickle had I not just applied for a transit. You need like an ESTA to fly through Canada. Did you know that?
I had no
heads up to
that.
Anyone. You need the same one you need as a tourist in the US, like a visa, but like a visa waiver that you just fill out online. And maybe I could have just done it when I got there, but I just applied for it right now and
specifically
got
like a Canadian version.
Yeah, a Canadian ESTA just to fly through, unless you're American. I think Kai kind of told me about it, and I didn't believe him. I just looked it up, and we're flying through Toronto tomorrow morning, and could have been an interesting situation.
At least with the ESTA, I think they can always do those ones last minute, because I think I've heard of people
doing
it in advance.
Because I think they're instant approval, so maybe I would have been fine, but that just made me think of that. So. Yeah, going to Stockholm tomorrow with our boy Kai, and we're going through Toronto to try Air Canada, which will be a fun experience. And we're racing Stockholm Diamond League on Sunday. I'm racing at the Diamond League, but I'm running a steeplechase, which is not a Diamond League steeplechase, which is becoming, I want to say, more common at Diamond Leagues for them to throw in a couple of events that aren't Diamond League events, either pre-program. Yeah, ours are right before the Diamond League program starts, but sometimes they have them, they'll throw one in the middle. I know Sage has done an 800 in Monaco. They often have, Stockholm has a 1500. They had one last year. They have one again this year. That looks really good.
I did one in London in 2019, and Jakob and Hagos Gabriel were in it, and it was a pre-programmed 5K.
I mean, they seem to still be really good races, and I was expecting this one to be not as strong as a normal Diamond League, partly because we heard about it late, at least when Haas told me about it, that it seemed like they kind of added it to the program a month ago or whenever it was after, and it's a very similar time to the Paavo Nurmi steeplechase. If anyone knows what that is, a race in Finland that is kind of known for the steeplechase. And so it seemed like most people were going to go to that, and so the Stockholm one wasn't going to be as strong. But having just looked at the field, it just looks like a normal Diamond League field. It's really good. So
that's funny.
I guess I'm happy for it to be pretty good. May as well just jump in slightly the deep end, but maybe it's missing a few heavy hitters. No Bakali, no Girma. A few really good Ethiopians. The guy who won one of the China Diamond Leagues is running. A few Kenyans, obviously a few Swedish guys, including newly minted Swedish resident Evan Jaeger.
Wait,
I don't know. What,
he's racing there?
I want to. I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a big reason they put it on. I think he lives in Stockholm now, and
I've been seeing the post.
Is lining up. Yeah, but he so cool. Has already raced. He raced in Nice 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, whenever that was. So second steeple of the year, and actually I'm really excited for that because since I started doing the steeple, I have wanted to line up with Evan, and I haven't yet. So as the pioneer of making steeplechase cool 10 years ago, and just absolute legend of the event. And I feel like he was everyone's favorite runner in 2015 in America.
100%.
He was so cool. He's still very cool. And hopefully he runs good again this year. Opening up steeplechase finally. The ankle was doing better than it was before track fest, so And even if it wasn't, I don't think that'd leave me in the 5K. So I think it's this time it's steeple's actually going to happen, and I won't have to preview the wrong event this time. So yeah, I'm very excited to go back to Stockholm, one of my favorite European cities. Yeah, very pumped for it. And Kai is running 5K, which also looks very good.
So that's on this Sunday.
This Sunday evening, yeah, off on a Sunday meet, because Oslo's like always midweek, or often a few days before. Oslo's going to be Thursday,
right?
Kind of when this pod is releasing, and Stockholm a few days later, yeah, Sunday night. And
awesome.
The current plan is actually to fly to Finland the next day, and to also do Pavanoma Games as a double header steeple to simulate worlds a little bit, which is a little intimidating, but I'm excited for the challenge of doing 2 and 3 days. And yeah, maybe just have, I'm just going to focus on Stockholm. I'm not even going to think about the other one until I get through Stockholm. Hopefully two steeples in a few days, which is what I'll have to do later in the year. And they both seem like, I mean, no, I've obviously done Stockholm. I know it's a really cool meet, but what I've heard from Pavanoma is that it's another really cool European meet. It's a gold label, but has really good fields normally. So that's the plan for the few days.
Wow. That's a really cool plan. That's really great that it's been able to work out like that. And I guess looking at it, it's not that surprising that the, even though it's pre-programmed, the steeple at Stockholm would be really stacked, because we've talked about before how silly kind of the Diamond League steeple schedule is this year. And like, it, why, like every single steeple in Europe right now is like asking the question, probably like, why is there no good steeplechase at any of these meets? So this is, I guess, one of the answers right here. So everyone's going to show up.
It is. And I feel like we said as well, like there seem to be fewer in general steeplechases this year, which is actually like a good thing, because it's like condensing really good fields together, it seems like. And yeah, there's no Diamond League steeplechase in June at all. So
makes sense.
Unless you just don't want to do one for like 6 weeks and wait for the next Diamond League, like there's going to be Diamond League level people running gold level steeples basically in Europe. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
And Kai is going to run.
That's a good plan.
Kai's in a good one with fellow rivals. Wait, who's in his one? Paul Hawker's in his race, actually. And
Carl Hawker.
Graham's in Oslo. Wait, who else was in?
Graham's in Oslo. Well, yeah, we'll be jumping around all these Diamond Leagues.
It's so cute.
Right in the thick of the Diamond League right now. The Swedish one from Stockholm, from what I know, it's being set up as a record attempt for Andreas Almgren, or a PB attempt, I guess you could say, because he already has the record. And his PB is 12:50. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're going for 12:50. So they'll be getting after it. And Andreas he's coming off a big training block. I think this is his opening race for the outdoor season, coming off some absolutely amazing road races and indoor races and just lots of good training. So it seems like he's going to be absolutely ready to crush in his home meet. So that's going to be really cool to watch. And I think for Kai, it's going to be an amazing opportunity. We often talk about what great form Kai is in, and it seems like, you know, these are the types of races that will suit him really well and he'll thrive in. So I'm excited to see how he can do. I think he can have a really, really big race. And it'll be interesting to see Cole Hawker. I think it's pretty bold of him to go to Stockholm amongst all these Grand Slams. But he's been talking all season about how he wanted to do the 1500 5K double. So I guess he's trying to, get in some actual more legit 5K races. I kind of picked up he was, I don't know if using it as an excuse is the right word, but he's been hinting / saying a lot during the Grand Slam that his 800s are not that good because he's looking at the 5K. So it will be interesting to see actually how it does play out.
Yeah, if he runs like 12:50, then I'll believe him.
But he very well could, you know.
Yeah, he definitely could. After running 12:50 something indoors, looking pretty easy.
Yeah.
So
that'll be sweet. That'll be Awesome. Is there, it's just you two from the team in Stockholm, I guess. That's it?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, and others are in Oslo. What, do we need to cover Rome before we can go to Oslo?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think we're gonna have to jump all the way back now to this past weekend in Rome, the Rome Diamond League, which was a really cool meet over in the Olympic Stadium there. We had Ollie and Falcon in the 1500, and it was, you know, looking at the field, it was, I think we kind of said how it was lacking some of the heavy hitters, but honestly, I don't know if everyone in the race was like listening to us and trying to just prove us wrong, yeah. Because the absolute quality that field produced, I think it was 16 people under the standard, something ridiculous like that. I think everyone, it was the most tightly condensed field probably ever with 16 people, because it was way too many people. That was one part of it, is it was like, there's too many people here for a quick 1500, but everyone actually did show that they, you know, they proved that they deserved to be there. And it was good to see Falcon go straight to the front and stay away from all the trouble, which actually didn't look like there was much trouble in the race. It looked like everyone ran it really well. But Falcon, man, he was bold up there, huh?
Yeah, not afraid to take the lead. Yeah, honestly, I need to give some credit to the meet director. Picking 16 guys that not one of them had like a bad day. Picking 16 guys between 329 and 332, honestly, shout out to that guy who put that field together, because that's actually very impressive. And Falcon had, I think, a clear goal in mind of nailing that German record. And I think going to the front was not a good way to win the race for Falcon, but it was a good way to run fast. And I think he knew that. Like, I think he knew that he was putting himself in a vulnerable spot to not set people up to kind of come by him in the last lap. But man, he was rewarded for it in a big way with a huge 330 run, 330.8, knocking down a very old German record, like 40 years old or something. So
wow,
that was so cool to see. And I mean, well deserved after putting in such a good 6 months, like leading up to this. I mean, obviously, you open up with a good 800, and he needs to get on that Grand Slam start line. Now, a 145, 330 in two races outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah, he would do well.
And
I think,
an Ollie Hall revival in that last lap, which is, we didn't get his lead taking 100 meters from 1100 to 1200. I think he ran very well still. What do you think? We'll get his full recap next week.
Yeah, I think he did great. I think for him, it was actually like a step forward, like getting the standard in kind of like, your first race over in Europe and doing, because obviously if you watch it, you'll tell that like he didn't have quite the start that he wanted. Not that like, I mean, it was clearly the pace was on, so it didn't matter too much where you were, but if you wanted to actually win the race, you would want to be quite a bit closer to the leaders, I guess, because it did end up getting kind of strung out, so he's probably further back than he wanted to. But with that said, I think he still competed really well. He closed really hard, and I think it's a step forwards, you know, like in terms of momentum building up and going in the right direction throughout those. Like, I think it's a great step forwards to get the standard. It's huge. So honestly, I think he did really well, and then I think it will be really good leading into Oslo today.
Yeah.
So no, I think he should be really proud.
I want to say it's his, like, obviously he ran 332 in Oslo last year, and I mean, shit, he won a Diamond League last year, but I almost think like that's as good as he's looked like since before he was injured. In terms of, like, this 331, I think, was significantly better than his 332 last year. Like, I think he just looks so much better running again. And I think he's primed to run much better than that, as opposed to last year where he kind of fell off after those couple of races. like just didn't have the base for it. And now I think he's in a great spot to kind of build from there, like as the opening race, basically.
Yeah, the event of the 1500, we've said this a million times now, but it's such a crazy hot event where you can run 3:31 and come, I believe you finished, did he finish around 8th or so?
9th, I think.
9th.
I want
to
say.
So it's just like, it's crazy. And you're going to have, by the time you get to Worlds, you're going to have, what, 15 to 20 guys or more, like 3:31 and quicker. Like within like that 4 seconds, 3:31 and quicker, like you're going to have so many people. And so when you talk about, you know, achieving your big goals for the season, which generally is performing at the World Champs, you know, first you got to tick the box of being in that form, but then there's a bunch of other things that actually are going to differentiate people when it comes down to it, like at that point in the season. So I think it's really good for him to like have ticked that first box at this point where it's like, okay, I'm there. I'm at that level. And hopefully now he can start to turn his attention more to like performing, like just pure performing, like at the championship when it matters, because that's what's going to separate people in a few months from now, you know.
And what separates kind of people is closing well, which he did, and he had like one of the fastest last laps, if not the fastest, and one of the fastest last hundreds, and closed really well, and then proceeded to tell the world that no one cares how well you close.
That was
too funny. And I'm going to call him out for this, but he told the world on Instagram that no one cares how hard you close after sending me his last 300 meter split.
Bro, he sent me the same text.
I didn't. Wait, did you ask for it? I didn't ask.
I asked him how he felt. And he said he was happy he closed so fast.
I would also call him out if he was here, but I can't let that slide. And I care how well he closed, and I also care how well he finished. It's possible to care about both those things at once. But that, I thought that was so funny. After that was like the next thing I saw from him, after him telling me the split and then telling the world that no one cares.
I literally had the same experience, like literally the exact same.
I don't know what happened.
So the three of us have to, when we're all back together, we're going to have to confront him about this.
Something changed in those 12 hours.
I think he's just really, okay, this is stuff that we should talk about when he's here. I think he's just really hard on himself in a weird way on Instagram.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he needed to be hard on himself. We'll get the full recap from him next week.
So that'd be good. And Falcon is also racing Oslo or just Ollie?
Both. Yeah, they're both doing it.
So
now they got the, I think now they got Cam Myers to deal with.
Cam Myers, Chariot is coming back to Oslo as well, I believe.
But not Hebs.
It'd be a very good race. Going back to Oslo, back to the mile. The dream mile, in fact.
It is, after 2 years of Jakob asking for a 1500, I assume. Now that he's not doing it, we're back to a mile. And maybe we won't preview it too much because it's probably already happened. So everyone should just be there, have watched it or go watch it. But we're excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very cool. I think the one that for Oslo, just I guess we may as well mention it now while we're speaking about it, the 5K at Oslo is being touted as a world record attempt. So that's going to be actually huge. At one point, it was supposed to be Jakob's world record attempt we were hearing. So we're really sad that's not happening, because everyone in the running world has asked for that for the last 3 years now, is to put Jakob in a 5K in a diamond league that's set up for the world record when he's in shape. Now, unfortunately, it's not going to happen, but it seems like a bunch of the other guys are going for it. You have Yomif and Hagos that are saying they're going to do it. So I think probably will be a crazy race. And then from the Americans, we got Shooting Blanks and Nico Young both there as well. So who knows? Those world record races can be crazy, but those two guys could pop off, you know?
My prediction is Nico Young crushes Grant's American record. Or
really?
At least the outdoor one. And by crushes, I mean just gets it.
Is it, what is it, 1249 or is it quicker?
No, 1246.
1246, like, wow.
And indoors is 1244. I don't know what the US counts as the record, but I think it's going down. I got a lot to go right now.
The only hard thing with a race like this, just hypothetical, trying to think about it, do you think if they go out actually on world record pace, Nico goes with them, or do you think he goes out just a little bit slower? That's like the hard thing.
Yeah, if he's smart, he'll go out slower.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Oslo, if the meet is smart, they'll have a separate lights, separate pacer or something for like 1245 to 1250, you would hope. I mean, they're literally going to go out in like 7:30, like something absurd, 7:33, 7:32, yeah, that's absurd. So I hope I hope he doesn't do that.
Yeah, that'd be wild. That'd be so cool. So yeah, I mean, that'll already have happened, or I think, yeah, it will already happen by the time this podcast comes out. So everyone listening should know. So we're excited to watch that as well. It's going to be a very, very cool meet. And I was like, as per usual, but going back to Rome in the women's 1500, Cinta raced, but unfortunately she did not have a good one. She's still, you know, getting herself together, getting going for outdoors. She'll actually be in with you, George, in Finland, racing again this coming week. So she's at that point where she's been doing a lot of solid training, and it's just ticking off races and trying to get it to all click on race day, which, you know, when you train hard, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for, I think, your body to really absorb it and for it to come out in the races. That's how it was for last year for her as well a bit. So she'll keep clicking on these races before heading back to Boulder for a little another little training camp.
I feel like she gets better and better the more she races.
Yeah.
She'll just keep trucking away at it.
Yeah. Keep it going.
And a huge one for Jose. Yeah. Number 3 all time. Yeah, that was huge.
Isn't it crazy to think about someone at this level, like running, was it 19-second PB?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Can you imagine if you ran a 19-second PB in the 5K? I mean, you could. Like, it could happen one day. But it's just hard to...
1246, basically.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it could happen, but it's just like that number at this level is wild. And I think the thing is, if you're like us and you've been around Josette for the last few years, it kind of makes sense like why she was able to PB so big, because she's like every year, I think she's reached like amazing form, but she's just either had like a little niggle or something pop up going into outdoors or during outdoors, or just like hasn't been able to be in a race like this, like when she's been in that form. And we've talked about this a bunch as well. Like, that's the reality of racing at this level, is you have to be in this crazy form, but also you only will have a really select amount of opportunities, races, to actually go and run these crazy times. And so you just got to keep chipping away and try to be as consistent as possible. And when the opportunity comes, you have to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what she did. And yeah, 1425 is, it is like still, when you see that time, it's almost so like hard to comprehend.
Yeah, that's so legit. And
but it was a crazy race.
I mean, two of her big rivals were in the race too, Shelbo and Carissa. And they didn't run bad, but they didn't run 14:25. So not exciting to see where she goes the rest of the summer.
Well, that just instantly like just changes everything. I mean, she came off the week before beating both Elise and Wendy. So it's like, it's already like, okay, wow, she's looking pretty damn good. But then to go around 14:25, it just catapults her to be like, oh, she's the best women's 5K runner in the US right now. Just like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
So yeah,
crazy.
It's amazing to see. In a race that was won by once again, features Chibet running some crazy, crazy fast times. I think it was, what was it, 5 seconds off the world record? Something like that.
This, I think, 14.03. Something crazy.
Yeah, a few seconds off it. So,
well, closer to home.
She's in a race, it's going to be crazy.
Closer to home, PDX happening this weekend with arguably the hottest runner again in the world right now, Donovan Brazier. Coming back after just quietly. This was like talked about as the big opener for him, and then quietly runs 1:44 at Toadfest. What a name for a track meet. After 3 years out of the sport, dude, that is hashtag good for the sport to bring that back. It's so good to see. It's so good.
We're so pumped for him.
Ollie's coaching.
Yeah. Ollie, like, credit to Ollie, honestly, for just bringing him along and being patient with him and not rushing him. The last time that I think we saw Donovan in person, I think we were together. I don't know if we were actually together, but in my mind, we were together. I remember seeing him in Eugene Worlds. Maybe we weren't together, but I saw him after he didn't make it through, and he was just limping so bad because he was clearly so injured, and it was like, oh, he's about to go get surgery. And then he's had a bunch of surgeries. He's, you know, it's so tough to come back from that. And then to be running 1:44 in your first race is just, I mean, it's crazy, but he is that type of guy where, you know, like, even just watching him visually, just watching the race, watching how fast and strong he looks, it's like, oh my God. I think with him, it's like when he's ready to go, like, you know, because you can just see the way he moves. And, you know, in his time away, the US 800 has changed a lot. But, man,
yeah,
I see him just coming back in and...
Yeah, crushing. Imagine if he was in this era the last, like, 2 years of the 800. And that's actually what made me like him even more than I already did. His interview afterwards was like one of the best, like, I mean,
he's so humble.
It was like, I couldn't believe how well he spoke after like 3 years out of the sport. And like, all he did was like give Bryce and Josh like so much credit for like leaving, like bettering the 800 since he's been gone, or like leaving it in a better spot than he was. Like, and they, like, Bryce just got his outdoor record in Paris, and Josh just broke his indoor record at Millrose, I think, this year. Like, it would have been so easy for him to say, like if I was running, like, I would still have those records, or like, you know, anything like that. But he was like so humble and well spoken about it, and just like, dude, he's the nicest dude ever, and is gonna be so good again, I hope. Is he? Yeah. You think he's is he, more seriously, do you think Mike Smith's coaching him?
That's what I heard.
Who'd you hear it from? That's just what it seems like.
I heard it from our manager, Tom West.
That's a solid source. That's just what I'm assuming. Why else would he be in flag, right? Because that'd be a pretty cool story,
To be honest, like, if you just asked me on paper, I would say, like, he shouldn't, like, I would say flag would not suit him at all, you know, just based on.
He used to always say, like, that he hated being altitude.
But whatever he's doing clearly is suiting him. So keep it going.
Maybe that's where Nico Young's closing speeds come from. Maybe he's been training with Donovan.
Yeah, well, we've seen the videos of Craig, I think we'll talk about it more when we're back together. Like, Craig's kind of season is pretty damn cool to see him kind of coming back as well. But there were videos of Nico, Craig, and Donovan doing some speed work together. So it's pretty awesome.
It's good to see.
Yeah.
Do you think he runs even faster this week? 1:43? Or 1:44 again? I could see another 1:44.
I don't think, honestly, the thing is, like, he set the bar so high by running 1:44.7 in his first race, and it was in Nashville, so I assume, like, the weather was pretty good for it and all that. I don't think it really matters what he runs, you know, like, until he gets to USA's, and then he's going to have to run really quick. So I think he'll just go and win. But I don't really know what the field is or anything, so I don't think it matters too much what he runs. But he seems like he will run pretty quick every single time he races right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems a bit like it. So, I think he makes the team, though.
I agree. I think everyone should go back and watch the video of him winning Worlds and just be absolutely inspired by like how amazing he looks in that race. And that was six years ago now.
It's going to be 6 years ago by the time we get to Worlds. That's insane.
Yeah, and he's still very young. So, well, I think he's a
no older
year
than
younger
Bryce.
Than us. He's a year younger than us, I think.
I think that sounds right. Which means must be younger than Bryce.
Yeah. He came on a visit to Wisconsin, and I was just like, bro, don't come to Wisconsin, man. You're too fast. He did. Because he's from Grand Rapids.
Yeah. Yeah. He talks about it once a week.
Yeah. Him and Grant were racing each other at like the Michigan State meet. I think they're in the same year in Michigan. Kind of crazy.
That is crazy. It's an elite class right there.
Yeah. Well, so we'll be excited to see him. And I'm sure in Portland there'll be a bunch of other good. I don't know off the top of my head who exactly is racing, but I think there'll be a bunch of good races there. There always is.
Couldn't tell you. It's a sweet track. Really sweet track.
So I think we'll start to wrap up a bit of a shorter one today. But, that's how it goes when we're not in this year together. But best of luck in your trip over to Europe. And with the, I hope you do get to do the back-to-back races. But even if you don't, go crush Stockholm. See how you feel. But it would be really cool to. That just sounds like a fun thing to do. Just two races in 3 days in different countries. But have a great trip there with Kai. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And
thanks, bro.
Great to see you back out there in the steeple.
That's the plan. Yeah, I do. I need to go pack. I got my suitcase out and I haven't put anything in it. And I got to leave in the morning.
Not important.
No, that's my plan for tonight.
Lovely. Well, that is it from George and I for episode 190 of the Coffee Cup podcast. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. See ya.
You've talked before about the training plan that you would give him. Yeah. I think it was like half running, half fishing.
Yeah. I want him to have his love for life and enjoy his process, but I also want him to be able to train.